Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
Just wanted to tell Ty, I appreciate how much you know about the Razorbacks. I mean, you're very knowledgeable for as young as you are.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorbacks.
Got my keg in the freezer. We're ready to get this thing rolling and go home, baby.
6 years coaching, I have maybe one other time in 6 years that I ever had a team not play with great intensity.
Intensity is what you heard from Eric Musselman at the top of our open, and it was lacking during the Arkansas basketball loss to the LSU Tigers last night. That's obviously going to be a huge talking point on today's program. Got some Masters news for all you golf fans out there that I think a lot of you will be excited about. What about some teams you should beat in the Southeastern Conference every single year? I found it interesting. If you look at the records Arkansas has against each opponent and where that stacks up. Sam Pittman was gifted another role earlier this week. I want to talk about that. Your early enrollees are on campus for Arkansas football, the impact they're going to have this upcoming year. Hopefully we'll see this new rule in college football concerning injuries. That's something that Tommy and I will discuss in length this morning. You got another bill in Arkansas high school sports as far as transfer goes. That's something that I just saw this morning that we're going to have to discuss.
I haven't seen that yet. Yeah.
And then Phil's birthday.
Yeah, I saw that too this morning.
That I did see. So happy birthday, Mr. Phil Elson.
Oh, man.
So he's 44?
Yeah, he's a year younger than me.
A year younger than you. That's how I keep track of it, because you're 45 and he's 44. Mm-hmm. And I will. That's the only way I'll be able to keep
but
track of it.
I got better hair.
Yeah, that is true. Hey, you have better hair. So I think it's pretty obvious where this conversation is going to at least start on a Thursday following last night's debacle. Is that putting it lightly, what occurred in the Pete Berridge Center last night? All right, that works.
I don't even think you need to ask today.
I'm happy to go there first because that's at least positive news. But on the negative side of things, it was Tommy told me earlier this week that his game had been canceled last night because of COVID-19 stuff. And I told him when I came in this morning, and I was like, man, you had to sit through 2 hours of that when you could have been making some money. It was just very difficult to watch. And I'm sitting next to my roommate yelling at the TV, and he's like, you know they can't hear you, right? And I look over to him, I say something I shouldn't to him, and he just starts laughing. But it was very agonizing and frustrating for Razorback fans watching that game, because the whole mantra of Eric Musselman is never quit, fight hard, play to the whistle, and on and on and on. And that's what we've seen since he's gotten to campus. And you heard it at the top of the open. It was really, I don't know if it was the first time, but you might have said this was the first time in the Eric Musselman era where you just felt like the team didn't show up last night, especially in the first half.
The heart and the gut of the first half, where, you know, first 2 or 3 minutes when you're feeling each other out, Arkansas looks like they're going to be able to compete. Several putbacks by both teams. Arkansas's in it for the first 2 or 3 minutes. And then it's just like all of a sudden it just all fell apart. And I'm not sure exactly what happened, but other than Arkansas quit playing with intensity, quit rebounding, let open drives go to the, I mean, you know what the result was, but you don't know why the result happened, I guess is a better way of phrasing it. And the next thing you know, it's a, what was it? The score was 8-7. LSU, Arkansas was right there with like 17 minutes to go in the first half, and then the bottom fell out, and with 6 minutes or so to go, Musselman's burned through nearly all of his timeouts.
Which he never does.
But he didn't have a choice, mm-hmm. And it's 42-11. So that's what, a 34-4 run? I mean, my God. I mean, and the frustrating thing is LSU was just, you know, on multiple occasions going from one end of the floor to the other and scoring uncontested to the rim. One thing, and Jimmy pointed this out on TV, was obvious watching your hands just went in your head. LSU goes in the paint. Arkansas's got 4 red shirts in the restricted area in position to rebound. LSU gets an offensive board and put back with 4 guys there. That is going to be a tough conversation in film review.
Arkansas's I want to say second in the SEC in rebounding differential, and you mentioned the start of the game where they had a couple offensive rebounds. Moses had one, and I'm forgetting the other guy that got an offensive glass, but LSU's problem.
Vanover hit a three early. Yeah,
you're up 7-4.
You thought, oh, okay, maybe things are going to go okay.
Arkansas, or LSU's problem this season, as you heard on, if you listen to the television broadcast from Jimmy Dykes, is they play okay defense on the first possession. If there's an offensive rebound, they just, all hell breaks loose. And with what occurred last night, not only could you just not hit a shot, and Eric Musselman talked about guys going combined 2 for 20, that just can't happen, but you also had no answers for a couple guys. We got our answer on Cam Thomas, who played last night. Didn't look injured at all. Five-star kid out of Oak Hill Academy. The all-time...
Yeah, that ankle was a problem. I'd hate to see it healthy.
Yeah, the all-time leading scorer for a school that has had guys like Carmelo Anthony walk those prestigious halls. K.K. Robinson's there. Jalen Ricks out of Sylvan Hills was there as well. It was a disaster last night. There's no other way to put it. Arkansas, for whatever reason, has not been able to stop Trenton Wofford since they played. Trenton Wofford at 6'9", I think 235, has mutilated Arkansas, not just last year, but this year as well. He is an absolute beast, whether it was Jalen Williams, Connor Vanover, Vance Jackson, whoever he took to the rim, he was going to get a bucket on, and that's exactly what happened last night.
Yeah, Wofford and Days both leave with double-doubles last night, 23 and 13 on the glass. 23 and 10 on the glass for Wofford, 18 and 13 for Days, and let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, everyone in the starting lineup scores in double figures for LSU.
Cam Thomas, Cam.
I mean, it's like for and you can't do this, but you take out that about 12 or 13 minute stretch, and it's a pretty competitive ball game because Arkansas did finally put the gloves up, but the game was over at that point. LSU didn't need to keep taking big swings at that point. They had the game won.
JT and Hot Springs text in. If you want to call or text in, give your opinion on the Arkansas basketball LSU loss last night, you can get in here at 877-377-6963. Turnovers were an issue last night. Missed layups were an issue last night.
Yep.
There's a lot of things that you can point to.
Well, when you get beat that bad, there's a lot. There's more than just one thing that was an issue.
Mm-hmm. Hawks,
you don't lose that poorly, looked that bad, and just one, well, there was only one problem. It never works that way.
Hog Stats pointed out that Arkansas is 0-24, now 0-25 in the SEC, with down 20 or more at the half. And they made
biggest comeback is 15 points when down at halftime to come back and win.
They made a little run at the end of both the first half and the second half, but it just wasn't enough. But we did see what I believe is the freshman of the year in the SEC last night in Cam Thomas, and that's coming off an ankle injury against the Ole Miss basketball team. And I thought that he just got to the rim at will last night, had a good pull-up jumper, a good three. He was crafty. I mean, you see why this kid was highly coveted, five-star, again, out of Oak Hill Academy. And another thing that was frustrating for Arkansas fans, it felt like Arkansas on offense was just going side-to-side, dribble side-to-side pass, dribble side-to-side pass. You got to take it to the cup. You have to go to the rim and create an opportunity for another player, and there just wasn't enough of that last night for the Arkansas basketball team.
Yeah, Cam Thomas, a game-high plus 29 when he was on the floor. He got fouled 8 times by the Razorbacks in the ballgame on his way to 17 points. Was 6 of 8 from the free throw line last night and a little over 31 minutes of play. So that's how valuable he is to LSU and to Will Wade.
It was impressive.
He's worth every nickel LSU's paying him.
Yeah, Javonte Smart was good. Darius Days, Trent Wofford. I mean, those four that Eric Musselman talked about, Will Wade has talked about, that is a fearsome four that not just Arkansas, but a lot of their teams in the Southeastern Conference and just college basketball as a whole are going to have to deal with. I want to tell you about the new Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzers. They come in spicy pineapple, cucumber lime, and peach berry. They're light and refreshing and are made with zero sugar. The new Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzers.
Boy, Houdini's in the house wearing number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Arkansas falls to the LSU Tigers 76-92 last night, and I think there's a lot of things that you can point to that were frustrating as a Razorback fan. Tommy, what would you characterize as the most disappointing aspect of the game last night?
I mean, just the stretches where it seemed like there was a lack of effort. I mean, you point to the play, and I think there was just an explosion on Twitter of comments when Arkansas scores. I don't even remember who scored the bucket. It was a drive to the basket, and it was a kind of an exciting play where Arkansas seemingly maybe gathered up some momentum, and it's a second-half play, and LSU inbounds and comes the other direction and goes untouched to the rim, and then Musselman calls, I think it was maybe his final timeout at that moment. And, you know, zero effort in getting back. It was plays like that that just absolutely just frustrated, because that's not who this team is. That's not the identity of their coach. That's not what they've been coached to do. So, I mean, for all the frustration that I saw from a few, it was not a majority, but there were some voices out there frustrated with Musselman. That's not what he has coached this team to do. So I don't know why they didn't take their coaching last night, but that's not what he is about. That's not what this program is about. The lack of rebounding, the lack of defending, the lack of effort in this game is not the identity of this program. They did not play the way they've been coached or recruited or trained to play last night. That was the frustrating part.
Very disappointing all around for the Arkansas basketball team, and I pointed this out to several Morning Rush listeners last night. If you look at Arkansas's SEC slate thus far, now their net ranking's not too bad, and those were both two top 25 net teams last night.
What, 21 and 22,
with Arkansas and LSU. But the better teams you play in the Southeastern Conference, Missouri, loss, yep. Tennessee, loss,
yep.
And now last night LSU, loss, and you're playing, statistically and by record, the best team in Alabama this Saturday.
But of those games you just listed in the losses, only one were you competitive. Missouri, never a threat. Last night against LSU, never a threat. Tennessee, to use the horse racing term, you threatened them to the wire. You were in this thing, and it was, wasn't necessarily a photo finish, but you lost by a neck or whatever, however you want to phrase it. You were in the race till, to the wire,
mm-hmm.
Against Tennessee. So Missouri and LSU last night, you never menaced. You were well back of the pack.
We saw them perform poorly against the Missouri Tigers and then respond against Tennessee. We'll see what kind of response we see from this basketball team when they travel to Tuscaloosa and take on the Crimson Tide and Nate Oates squad on Saturday. Got some news for Sam Pittman in Arkansas football. He's going to represent the SEC on the Board of Trustees for the American Football Coaches Association. Now, Dan Mullen did this last year. Your thoughts on Pittman getting, I don't know if this is prestigious. I don't know if this is just a run of the mill.
I was hoping you'd tell me. I mean, we know the American Football Coaches Association. What all do they have a voice in? How much of a representation do they have with the College Football Playoff Committee? Because that's what really counts, is how much say do they have with the College Football Playoff Committee? Other than that, what really matters?
Well, we talked about Todd Berry voicing his opinion about that the College Football Playoff needs to expand, and there's a lot of support for that. I don't know the ins and outs of what this committee is. I'm kind of like you. I was hoping you would kind of distinguish that this morning. I guess neither of us really know.
I would think that in a COVID world right now, in a pandemic time, they probably don't get to meet in exotic locales, so it's probably not a great assignment if it's a one-year deal. So you want to be on boards like this when they pay for your trip to the meeting in Vegas or Hawaii or the Keys, or, pick some great locale that you're going to meet in. But probably right now, not a great deal. But if this board, and I'm sure that the playoff committee, that the NCAA listing to the college football coaches has some value when it comes to recruiting rules, when it comes to how enforcement is ran. But as far as postseason, the NCAA has no say or voice in that. It's, coaches need to be listened to. The rules committee is made up of coaches, so I'd like to know more because I don't know enough about what this association has as far as a say and a voice and what their power really is.
Well, speaking of the association, I brought up Todd Berry's name. He was asked about the faking injuries and the way to penalize this, and he says it's time to end it. So hopefully we will see some rules set in place.
I got the fix for that if they want to listen to
me. I was going
to
say, I think your rule that you have to sit out a series.
Yeah. I mean, if you go down, and it may be a legitimate injury. Unfortunately, but if it is a legitimate injury, you probably don't need to be, you need to be over in that tent, right? You need to be tended to by medical personnel. If you're injured and the game has to be stopped, you're just out till your team gets the ball again. And you know what? You could make that rule go both ways. Offensively, if you're injured, and here could be the caveat, I could live with this, or your team calls timeout. You're out till your team gains possession of the ball or loses possession of the ball or your team calls timeout. That's how you can fix some of this.
And hopefully
that's not going to be foolproof, but it's going to help.
I would think it would. Talked about Sam Pitt and other Arkansas football news. Miles Mason has found his new home. He is transferring to Louisiana Tech, and that's where he's going to end up. We mentioned Deion Edwards coming back from the transfer portal returning to Arkansas. Mason has found his new home with the Bulldogs? Is that right?
That doesn't sound right.
Is that not right?
It may be.
It's
right.
It's blue and red. I know a Morning Rush listener whose father went to school there.
Somebody will text
me. I can't think of
it. That may be right.
All right, now you can play your master's music because we've been teasing this a little bit. You did have some good news concerning the Masters. National Chairman Fred Ridley of Augusta said there's going to be a limited number of patrons that can attend the Masters coming up in April.
Well, first of all, they're going to have the Masters in April, which I don't think is any surprise to anyone after they had it in November. It will have center stage right after the Final Four. Now, what this means is most of us, as usual, won't get to go. And those that try to win a ticket in the lottery or those that might be on the list and none of us are not going to get to go. You know who's going to get to go? The closest family and friends of the members at Augusta. That's who will get to go.
There's even
the hand-picked few.
These even more tickets that are going to be coveted. My old roommate is brothers-in-law with, Austin Cook. And so he's gotten to attend the event. And he said there's nothing like it. He brought
there
back.
Isn't.
I'm not kidding, Tommy. He came back with 20 Masters Cups. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've been a few times for practice rounds, never a competitive round. And you can quickly rack a bill up in the gift shop.
Apparel, yeah.
Just buying things. And I've got not a closet full, but I've got several shirts.
There you go.
I've got hats. I've got ball markers. I've got bag tags. I've got two umbrellas for some reason. I got things I have never used before because in the moment, you lose your mind a little bit because you know this may be the only time I step foot on the grounds at Augusta National. And they don't rip your head off on stuff. I mean, it's not cheap, but it's not terrible. $60 to $80 for a shirt the last time I was there. And you walk quickly next door to the FedEx or UPS booth and ship it back home. You don't have to carry it around and, you know, you can easily, before you know what you've done, sir, that'll be $478.
Spend a couple hundred, yeah.
Or five. You know, but and what the heck? I mean, how many times are you going to get to Augusta in your life?
That's a good point. So I need me, when I go back to Little Rock, I haven't seen many shirts in Fort Smith, but I occasionally will see an Elotion member sport one of those shirts.
Yeah.
I need me one of those shirts.
The Exclusive A?
Yeah. Exclusive A. So I have a hat, but it's all...
Not the Augusta A, the Elotion A.
The Elotion A, so hopefully...
Never been to Elotion. I've been to Augusta more times than I've been to Elotion.
At 26 years old, I'm still hoping someday. I'm holding out to play there once. So if we do have any Elotion members listening to the program, you feel free to invite Tommy.
Asking to get to go usually isn't the way to get to go.
Not the result in to them.
My dadgum brother, he's been like five times.
Jeez.
I've never been.
Come on, Teddy.
Yeah,
invite your brother.
I know it.
SEC news for you. Do you remember Tracy Rocker, Tommy?
Yeah, he was coach here, what's that been, 15 years ago now? He's got a son that's a pitcher at Vanderbilt. He's been around. He was a great player at...
Was that Kumar's dad?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't make that connection.
Yeah, his son's a pitcher at Vanderbilt. And
the eventual number one pick in this upcoming MLB draft.
That's his son.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Let's see. He played at Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
He's coached at Arkansas. I think he's at Georgia at the time. He's been at several stops in the SEC. But
he was at South Carolina. Now he's heading back at Auburn. He was a part of the Auburn staff when Nick Fairley won the Lombardi Trophy in 2010. I don't know how I didn't make that connection.
Mm-hmm.
So Bill Keene, who used to do radio with the Nashville, who you can hear on Halftime every Wednesday, he told us before Kumar got to Vanderbilt, it was like, watch this guy. This is going to be the best pitcher in the SEC at some point. And now he's projected either top five or number one in this upcoming NLB draft. So he was the guy that closed it out for Vanderbilt this last year. Game two is when he pitched. He's unbelievable stuff.
What years was Tracy Rocker here? Was that? I'm trying to remember which staffs he was on.
I can look it up for you.
Too many nights of sleep. I want to say that was early Petrino years, but I may be wrong on
joined
that.
Joined Houston Nutt staff.
Okay, it's nuts. He's only here two years, maybe three. Wasn't long.
2003 to 2007,
okay,
he's
off,
your
you know,
defensive line coach.
I said it was 15. It was a little longer than 15.
That's okay. So you brought up the Kumar
too many thing. Too many nights of sleep between them. But, yeah, he was here 03 to win.
07 is what it said on Wikipedia. Okay. So let's take that for what you will.
Yeah.
Other SEC news. This is from Kendall Rogers of D1 Baseball. The SEC athletic directors have approved a normal baseball season structure for this season.
So 30 SEC games then.
The travel roster is going to be increased from 27 to 30 players. And he also noted that the league schedule as of yesterday was going to be dropped in the next 24 to 48 hours.
Okay, so say that again. Normal league structure? So does that mean you normally have 30 SEC games, but you normally have 56 regular season games?
No change to the conference schedule.
Okay, so I wonder what that means for the non-conference schedule. That will be interesting to see what the league has decided or how each team is going to be allowed or what will become of your non-conference schedules, because that's half your games.
It's a good question to ask.
I mean, because you play 10 SEC weekends of three games, that's 30. You have a 56-game regular season, including those 30 games. So, I mean, 26 games are generally scheduled. You don't always get them all in because of weather.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's almost half of your schedule is non-conference. And you normally begin mid-February, and you don't play SEC play till second weekend or so of March. So those first 3 or 4 weeks are non-conference games. So testing has been, at least in basketball, and one of the reasons in football, and they had to make these decisions early on in the pandemic to not play non-conference games in football, fewer number of games. But a big part of the basketball considerations on non-conference games is scheduling non-conference opponents. What's the testing protocol for those opponents? And there's fewer members, so you could do antigen tests on site with basketball teams.
You bring up non-conference
tier ones.
Opponents. Arkansas is going to play Little Rock the 6th and 7th, if I remember that correctly. Mm-hmm. I know my brother's excited about that because the 7th is his birthday.
So hopefully the total number of games isn't cut way back. It's what I'm hoping for.
Other Arkansas baseball news as we move on to professional hogs. Andrew Benintendi seems to be on the move for the Boston Red Sox. They are looking for a new destination for him, according to multiple reports. I know a lot of Cardinals fans would love to see him in their Cardinal blue and red.
Yeah, and obviously a favorite for a lot of people listening in this audience is the Cardinals. So, no, you're absolutely right. That'd make a lot of people happy around here. There are a lot of Cubs fans, too, that would probably that would like to see him find his way here. So, somewhere probably closer to this part of the country where maybe you go see him when all this is behind us.
I'd like to go see him play a game eventually. Anytime
I want to go see him in Boston just because I want to see Fenway. So
I still haven't been to Fenway either. I would like to eventually make it over there. Now, last quick key to headline for you. We'll come back here to Arkansas, and this will be Arkansas high school sports. You said you hadn't seen this. I just saw it before we came on the show, so I think it broke last night. There's a bill that's been sent. I don't know if it's to the Arkansas. I got to look this up real quick. Our friends at Primetime Preps, Brad Caldwell and Bill Harshaw, put this out that there's a transfer rule bill that's been put where you don't have to sit out a year for high school sports. You can just play immediately. And I thought that was already the case from private to public, isn't it?
I thought of it. What do they call it? A legitimate transfer. If you already had a legitimate transfer, you didn't have to sit already. So, again, I'm not as well versed on what the transfer rules are, but I go back to what I said earlier this week on the other bill we discussed a couple of days ago here on the show, that I just don't like the idea of state government or any government getting involved with the rules of how high schools are going to conduct their either student eligibility or what divisions teams will play in or any of those things. Let's let the schools and their governing body work through the process themselves. If that breaks down, then it's broken. If they can't come to some conclusions, then perhaps you go to the next level. But let's give these guys a chance to decide for themselves what they want to do before government overreaches. There's bigger issues for the state legislature to be dealing with when they convene.
There's no reason to read this because it's gibberish if it came out. I just sent it to you, so if you want to decipher it a little better.
We talked earlier, but there's a proposed bill about public and private schools being split into essentially separate leagues, classifications, divisions, where public and private schools would not compete, is the proposed bill. Have your own opinion on that. I have the same opinion about both of these. Is let's just let the Arkansas Activities Association does a good job with putting together a board that allows each school to have a vote and a say on a lot of these things. So they don't like the way things are, think it needs to be changed. They frequently vote on these matters that are important. And if I'm wrong about that, hey, I know we got a lot of coaches and a lot of administrators. Text the show. Yeah. Tell me where I'm wrong. But I just don't know where the state legislature needs to be getting involved when school administrators that deal with this on a day-to-day basis need to be dealing with these issues and setting these rules for the schools.
If you have an opinion,
not state law. Yeah. We don't need state law involved.
If you have an opinion about this, you can call or text in at 877-377-6963. Make sure you're subscribed to our Hit That Line podcast network, where you can listen to this program, Ruskin and Zach Halftime, Primetime Preps, The Hog Talk, and also Trusting the Process. Had a great conversation with Richard Davenport. We'll mention that a little bit when he joins us at 8 o'clock coming up.
Where did you settle on the name Trusting the Process?
You asked me that this week. Mm-hmm. It's a Philadelphia 76ers phrase that was coined by, I believe, Joel Embiid, and it's just Trust the Process, and I just kind of lengthened what did that change from an adjective to an adverb? Trust from trusting? I don't know my particulars that well, but I just think that phrase, it brings out a sense of, hey, even though that there might have been obstacles in my path or people told me I couldn't get to this point, I have. And when I say I'm talking about the people that I interview.
Your subjects?
Week. Yes. So
Interview
subjects. So right. Excited about that. All right, this Arkansas basketball team, you're now 2-3 in the Southeastern Conference. Your two wins comes against bottom feeders, Auburn and Georgia. Your three losses against some of the top-tier opponents, Missouri, LSU, and Tennessee. You're going to play another top-tier opponent this Saturday against Alabama. Now, you like the response that this team had against Tennessee following Missouri, but you're still facing the same issues. There's stints that this team just can't find a basket, like last night. Layups were a huge issue again. And you did have some offensive boards early on, but they didn't help you then. I just felt like LSU could get a basket from either Cam Thomas, Darius Days, Trent Wofford, or Javonte Smart anytime they wanted to. And outside of JD Notae, you're still searching for that guy that can get his at any point during a basketball game.
Yeah, you don't have a go-to guy. I mean, last night, everything that could go wrong did. You didn't have any. You didn't play with any confidence. It was. Mm-hmm. It jumped through the TV that this was a team that was just leaking oil from the start. I mean, I don't know what occurred 2 or 3 minutes into the ball game, or what play LSU made. I don't know if you can really pinpoint it to a sequence or a moment, but something occurred 2 or 3 minutes into this ball game, and Arkansas just fell apart. And something sparked LSU to the point they went on a, what was it, a 34-4 run or whatever it was. You know, the score went from 8-7 to 42-11 in about a 11-minute stretch of game time, from about the 17-minute mark to about the 6-minute mark of the first half.
You held your breath when J.D. Notae went down with what looks to be a shoulder injury. Like Darius Days, I think, was the one that tried to get a rebound. It looked like he popped his shoulder or something.
Yeah, I think he just kind of hit him in the – inadvertently hit him in the face area or whatever. But, you know, Arkansas didn't need another injury. I know that.
No, scary moment, but there's a lot of statistics that Arkansas lost last night. On the road, you got to shoot better than 26% from the three-point line. Did have shoot 80% from the free throw line, so when they did get to the foul line, they were able to take advantage. Turnovers an issue again, 15. Now, you did force 19 from LSU, but you still can't have 15 turnovers on the road. You did. Your bench came to play last night, but that was just more because the starters didn't give you much.
Well, you didn't defend the rim. I mean, read that number there. LSU scored how many points in the paint? Read that number for everybody.
48.
LSU scored 92. Half of them were in the paint. I mean, you got to defend the rim. And, I don't know. Arkansas did not have the intensity. They didn't seem to want to rebound. They didn't seem to want to defend. And you don't want to do those two things. I don't know how you have the effort or the confidence for the shots to go in either.
And some people are pointing to, oh, it's just because Justin Smith isn't back. That's the final missing piece to this basketball team. Now, I hope you're right. I hope that's the case. When he does return, this basketball team starts clicking again. We've seen that with him out, this team is not even resembled to what we saw in non-conference play. Hopefully he comes back healthy and ready to revive this basketball team, because right now with Alabama on your slate, you could be 2-4 looking a long road ahead in the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah, I don't know. Are these issues beyond the court, or are they still trying to gel as a team? I don't know. I mean, these issues seem to be this wasn't the way they got beat last night was not a void of talent. This was not a lack of talent. There seemed to be something beyond the game last night, and maybe I'm reading way into that, but this was not a reflection of what this team was capable of. That's what I know. We have seen this team play with more effort. This team has more ability. They did not come ready to play in the way they've been coached. That's what I do know.
Try the new Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade. The taste of sweet lemonade meets the refreshment of a hard seltzer. Original black cherry, strawberry, and peach lemonade. The new Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade.
They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
Richard, we discussed Quincy McAdoo's commitment to the Florida State Seminoles earlier this week, and we were kind of waiting to talk about it more in depth with you. Did this have anything to do with Justin Stepp bolting for South Carolina?
Don't know for sure, but I don't think it had a huge impact. I say that because I think he was starting to trend towards Florida State. Last time I talked to him it was probably mid-December. I could tell that Florida State had made a big jump with him over the last few months, and just some of the things that he was saying. So I tend to think that Florida State was just gaining momentum, and that might have hurt Arkansas, no doubt, but I really think that Florida State was the one that he was favoring towards the end, and he told me he was about to make a decision, like I said, about mid-December, and that's exactly what he did.
So that's some bad news that Arkansas football got this week. Good news is they got 15 early enrollees on campus. We had a great conversation with Christopher Paul Jr., who you helped coordinate with, and we appreciate that. Richard, who are you excited, really excited? I know there's a lot to choose from, but what kid of the 15 are you really excited for his development in the spring?
Oh, man, yeah, that is a good one. At quarterback, I mean, you have to be somewhat, you know, intrigued by Lucas Coley, because he is such a mature, focused young man. And could he come in and, you know, maybe get that second spot, or maybe even contend for that starting spot? He's got a lot of confidence, and he's got the makeup that you're looking for at quarterback. He just has the it factor. When you talk to him, you're just so impressed with him. So nothing seems to overwhelm him. And, you know, at quarterback, obviously that's a trait that you got to have. Christopher Paul obviously is one because they continue to need to add depth at the linebacker position and need to be able to spell Grant Morgan and Bumper Pool. And he physically can do that. He's about 6'1", probably maybe 240. I could see him getting down to 230, 235, and you know, get some of that baby fat off and get that speed up a little bit more. But he will lay the lumber, as they like to say. And you need that physicality at the linebacker position.
We were talking earlier, you know, with the new 4-game rule where true freshmen can come on and not burn a red shirt and play in 4 games, the physical, you know, enrolling early and getting in the weight programming, having those 8 weeks and getting through spring is so imperative now to be ready to truly contribute in those 4 games. And then if you want to be considered to play beyond those 4 games and really contribute as a true freshman, it's very difficult now to do, Richard, unless you do enroll early and go through this process.
Yeah, it can be done if you enroll it during the summer. But like you said, the advantages that you get, getting used to just going to class and working out, the workouts, the terminology of what you're, you know, of your position and the offense and defense, just getting used to the speed of the game. And obviously, you know, during high school, you go through workouts, but there's nothing like the in-depth workouts that you get in college, especially at a school like Arkansas. So you're going to see some changing of the bodies. As a matter of fact, I was trading some texts with a father of one of the enrollees last night, and I said, you won't even recognize him in a few months because of his body will be totally changed. Especially when he comes home, so that is just a huge advantage, and it also helps them get through the homesickness. You're still going through that homesickness during the summer and during the season. Well, now you're gonna have about 6 months dealing with that.
Yeah, particularly with interior linemen, whether it's offensive or defensive linemen, I think it's almost a must. Unless you're just genetically gifted, you almost have to do this to have a chance to play your true freshman year.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's something that obviously, you know, you'd love to see that some of the offensive linemen that signed with Arkansas come in, but they're obviously going to wait till the summer, but defensive linemen, it is an advantage. But at the same time, I think it's easier to play on the defensive line than it is the offensive line as a true freshman.
How far in advance does a high school player have to plan this out? Because you don't just decide in, you know, October or November, I'm going to early enroll. You have to have all your high school work complete. So is this a sophomore year, a junior year? When does this plan have to be enacted and put into place and carefully followed? Because this isn't a senior year decision, I don't imagine.
No, it's not. I would suspect a sophomore,
junior year at the very latest, I would imagine. I really haven't asked the kids that, but I tend to think that a lot of them, when they, you know, if you have a coach, a high school coach that is used to the process and has had some kids go through that, you know, you kind of give them a heads up. Hey, this is what you're going to need if you want to be an early enrollee as a senior, and I think that helps tremendously. And then it helps for parents and kids that are educated about the process too. But there's some kids, they don't necessarily are not that educated about it, and sometimes they may want to, but they wait too long to inquire what is needed of me to be able to do that. And I've talked to a few that you know, kind of got the idea about enrolling early, kind of late in the process, and they weren't able to do it.
Richard, transitioning to Arkansas basketball, Joseph Pinion is a kid that a lot of people are excited about, 6'5 kid out of Morrilton. How have you seen his game develop the last couple of years?
You know, I haven't been able to see him live, but, you know, just being able to see the film of him, he's just a guy that has a very good basketball IQ. And then he's vastly underrated athletically, in my opinion. He's got a good hops. He's got good quickness, and obviously he can play the game, you know, on all three levels, and can fill it up outside and go to the basket. But he's a guy that, you know, hey, a lot of schools, including Kansas, got on even without very much in person evaluation. So. Based on film, you know, that he impressed them, and that's saying a lot.
Yeah. I know everybody's paying attention to Nick Smith at Sylvan Hills, the state's top player right now, and his list of schools with interest is a who's who, but in Arkansas certainly is doing everything they can to retain and keep this in-state talent from leaving. Someone that seemed to know what was going on around this that I trust said that North Carolina, who is on that list of schools, Kansas is on that list, everybody's on that list, is really putting a press on right now and has really gone the extra step, and that seems to be drawing some attention from him. Have you talked to anyone close to Nick and his camp right now? And I've been told that North Carolina seems to be catching his eye a little more in recent days.
Well, I was told a while back that definitely he's going to be a tough one to keep, you know, in state, just because of the blue bloods. And then North Carolina comes knocking, and I agree. I think North Carolina is a major threat. And when you have an opportunity to go to a blue blood school, that, you know, rightfully or wrongfully, kids are you know, gravitate towards that. Just because of the name, and don't get me wrong, there's reasons to gravitate towards a school like that, especially when Roy Williams is the head coach. Mm-hmm. But I tend to think Arkansas is going to do everything that they can to keep him in state, but there's definitely stiff competition. Yeah.
Richard, we really appreciate it, man. Also appreciate you joining the first Trusting the Process last week. How do you think it went? First one. You can be honest. You can be blunt. Be as specific as you want.
Oh, no, you did great. You did great. You did your homework. You asked good questions, and you're a professional, and it showed.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, go enjoy some of those jalapeno chips you were texting me about yesterday, buddy.
Yeah, I saw your deal on jalapeno. Let me give you one I tried over the holidays that you might want to put on your list of jalapeno items that you are looking to try.
Let's do it.
Jalapeno peanut brittle.
Interesting.
Oh, that sounds great.
I saw some in a store. I said, no, I just got to try it. It was really good. So.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, Megan, she whenever she sees anything that has some heat on it at the grocery store, I've been a guinea pig for years because she knows I love jalapenos and, you know, just anything hot. So
there you go.
I'll definitely will try to try that.
All right. Good talking to you, bud.
All right, guys. See you.
See you, buddy. Good stuff from Richard Davenport, as always.
Wow. When you hear this music, this theme music, everyone thinks Alex Trebek and the gloriousness that is Jeopardy. Now, He's no longer with us, unfortunately. You've had other guest hosts, one of those being Aaron Rodgers, which we'll do that in the offseason. And this begs the question, what is your favorite game show that you would like to participate in? We've gotten some texts, and if you want to text those in real quick, it's 877-377-6963. Greg at Fort Smith says his would be Family Feud. He loves that show.
Family Feud. I watch a lot of Family Feud reruns on Game Show Network with Steve Harvey. Family Feud's a good one, so that'd be one.
Text out of the 501 that says Supermarket Sweep or The Price is Right. I don't know. Do you know what Supermarket Sweep is?
I think that is on Food Network. I have seen that once or twice. I think everybody knows what Price is Right is. Of course, Price is Right. Now, your generation may not have seen. Y'all do know who Bob Barker is, don't you?
I mean, seen Price. Absolutely.
So it's just not the same with that Bob on there.
Hey, he's the guy from Happy Gilmore, right?
Yes, correct. That's a correct answer.
I know what that is.
Supermarket Sweep's a new. Leslie Jones, who was on Saturday Night Live, they did a reboot of that. And okay. You get like 60 seconds to go collect groceries or something.
Another one, this text from B.E. in Clarksville. He says that the MTV game hosted by Colin Quinn called Remote Control. Is that a good one, Jenkins?
I don't know anything about that one.
I've never played that one. Chad from NWA says The Price is Right or Family Feud.
Family Feud getting some more love.
Another text in from the 479, Wheel of Fortune. I loved watching Wheel of Fortune.
I'm terrible at that show. I can't ever figure the puzzles out until they figure themselves out.
They can be difficult at times when it comes to one of those. It's just a debate or whatever. What would y'all's be?
How about this one right here? Well, I need to stop the other one to listen to this. Hang on, I got a sounder for you. Hang on, this is terribly produced.
Well, that's a good one.
You know what that one's from?
Do I know what that one's from?
Yep.
That is I'm looking at it right now, but I can't.
No whammies.
Stop! Press your luck.
Okay.
That's been a recent reboot from a great late 80s, maybe early 90s game show.
Mine would be this.
Deal or no deal?
I was fascinated with watching Mandel.
Both of those shows basically center around the same thing. How far do you want to press the envelope?
Yep.
How much greed? Do you want to take the money and run, or how greedy are you? That's basically what both of those shows are centered around.
How greedy. And Wes in Benville agrees with me. His would be Deal or No Deal.
Both basically operate around the same premise.
Alan Alma agrees with you, Tommy. He says Press Your Luck.
Press Your Luck's a great one.
You know when you go to a casino and they have those games and you got to debate, hey, do I want the, like in for Deal or No Deal, they have that game. Do I want to take the package I have or I want to keep it?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do in those situations? Do you switch it? Do you just say, screw it, I'm going for it all or I'm not getting anything?
No whammies. Stop.
Gotta go with it.
Gotta go with it. So you gotta be aggressive in those type of games. So
came here with nothing, I might leave with nothing.
Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.